Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
Hey, welcome, welcome to the Not Too Late Show, where it is never too late to step into your power, to express your gift, or to discover your genius, turn up your light, step out, and be the gift that you came here to be. I'm your host, Miche Meisner, and this is one of my very favorite places to be and share with you awesome people and their exceptional wisdom and magical woo. So today I have Lori Kirstein as my guest. Lori helps women in business break from social shoulds in order to be unapologetic and authentic in their business and personal choices. She also works as a consultant with business teams seeking to go deeper into communication and awareness and to attain their personal goals. She founded a unique business program which includes personal, spiritual, and business growth for women based on the practical ideology that you are your business, the powerful woman leadership program for any woman ready to shed her good girl and live life and business on her own terms. We met online about 8 years ago in a women's group focused on creating a business that combines passion and purpose, no surprise there. And I've been trying for years now to get Lori to bend a spoon with me, and we could never get it together until finally I just mailed her a few spoons, and then I held a webinar in her group, so she didn't really have much choice at that point. Fortunately, it's only taken up a week or two to get her signed up on a show, and I'm excited to present her and share what's coming up today. So here we go. Lori, welcome to the Not Too Late Show.
Woohoo! I am so thrilled to be here with you, Miche. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Oh, my God. And hearing you introduce me, I just sound so good.
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
You know, it's all true. Yeah. So
crazy, crazy stuff happening in this world. And, you know, I'm so grateful for things like you're doing for your show, where you're bringing thought leaders and people who are saying the norm really never worked. So
right. Thanks
for including me.
Yeah, definitely. And we need new coping skills and strategies, you know, and I really felt like those of us who've been kind of leaning in this direction, if not just pushing forward all these years, like we've been doing our homework. We've been building those muscles, you know, because we have always been sort of outside of the norm. And I feel called now to, you know, bring all my out-of-the-norm brethren and help people who thought that it was supposed to be, you know, normal and regular, and now it's not. You know, they need some new coping skills, I think, and to understand that it's like survival instinct kicks in, you know, in this kind of thing, right? And you just feel like on, like, a cellular level, you feel like you're going to die. And I feel like it's our job to say, no, wait, it's okay. It's actually going to really get good soon, I think.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that along with our coping skills, because for me, the coping skills have to do with when we're overwhelmed, when we feel overwhelmed, or we just feel like, God, I don't know what to do, or I'm faced with something that I've never been faced with. Those are,
mm-hmm.
Then we have to have coping skills, but we also need to be able to look at things in a very, very out-of-the-box, very new way. And that's something that's always gotten me into trouble when I've been in traditional jobs.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants you to just do the Excel spreadsheet, and I'm sitting there going, but if I do this, it's going to impact that person over there. And they go, shut up. Well, I'm not shutting up.
Right. Yeah, I just thought, you know, they don't want you to reinvent the wheel. And then I thought, well, but wait a minute. If we had some, like, levitating magnetron something, that you don't even need a wheel.
There you go. Yeah. In fact, I want to blow your mind today.
Yes. Yes.
Are you
that's
ready?
What we're here. I'm almost ready. I would love it if you took just like two or three sentences and just say a little bit about kind of your growing up and how you got to where you are. And I know that that's super condensed, right? But just what was it like growing up being weird? Because I'm assuming you started early.
Well, I was very fortunate in some ways because my parents were professional musicians. And so I could be artistic. I could be different. It wasn't being different at that point that that was the problem. It was that my my mother got very, very sick, and the family kind of imploded emotionally. So my place that I got very dinged for was when I stepped out into the work world, and I was this very emotionally repressed but very opinionated creative person.
Right.
And it's like, okay, now who is this person sitting at that desk? And, you know, I got fired from my first temp job after 2.5 hours when I was like 18, and I still don't know why.
Wow.
But what brought me here was I had a nervous breakdown in my 30s because of all the repressed emotions, and it set me on a spiritual and personal growth path.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then years and years passed, and you had a lot of life, and now zoom forward, here we are, blow our minds.
Okay. So, some years ago, I was introduced to a movie. It's a 45-minute documentary that anyone can see on Vimeo by a woman named Jean Kilbourne, and it's called Killing Us Softly, and then the number 4, because she's done 4 of these movies.
Okay.
This movie showed me that all of the personal growth, all of the therapy, all of the everything that I'd been working on had a component to it that not only did I not see, but that wasn't even really mine. It wasn't my doing. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I know that sounds kind of weird and undefined. And I'm going to tell you in a story way, okay?
Yes.
So, great. So the spiritual approach to what I'm going to tell you is an old, old story, and it has to do with the fish that is wandering the ocean looking for a guru fish and finally finds the guru fish and says, oh, guru fish, please help me. I am looking for water. And the guru says, you are living within the water. Now, it's the same thing you'll hear in spiritual circles about we are living within spirit. So what do you mean you're looking for spirit? You are that. Great.
Right.
What that has to do with us as women is that we are swimming in social waters, and we think they don't impact us. We think that we're somehow separate from them. We will abhor them. We will see them. We'll see things like ads that show a woman being abused and it's supposed to be stylish. I mean, there really are ads like that out there.
Yes.
Right? We'll see all kinds of things that we just go, what? And we don't rise up against it. We don't write an email. We don't get on the phone. We don't call each other and go, do you believe that? Let's do something about this. Because we think it's just the way it is.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Right. What can I do about it? How do I do anything about it? So the question is, there's a couple of aspects here. One is that if you are one, like most of us, who says, oh, I see those ads, but they don't really impact me because I know that's garbage.
Right. Yeah, I was just going
to
thinking about that. Yeah, like I know better than that. You can't hook me with that stuff. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly, because we go, well, my head knows it, therefore I know it, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. There, about 10 years ago, was a man named Rance Crane. He was the former senior editor of advertising's biggest publication, Advertising Age. And this alone should blow your mind. It certainly did mine. Only 8% of an ad's message is received by the conscious mind.
Whoa.
The rest is worked and reworked deep within the recesses of the brain.
Wow. So,
okay.
Like, even after you see the ad or something, like, my brain is still trying to suss out what I just saw and receive it on an unconscious level?
That is what I am saying. That is what I am saying, yes. And what it's doing, because it's subconscious, because you have no control, no conscious control over it, you are doing what any reptilian-brained human, which is all of us, would do, which is, how do I use this information for my security?
Right.
Right? So I see an ad. It was an ad I saw today. It's slightly old. It's been out for a while, and it's I think it's a Subway ad. And you see a young woman from the side, just her face, just her head. And her mouth is open, and you see a giant 6-inch sub coming her way. It's very sexual.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if she's about to do something sexual with a sandwich. And the words are something about it'll blow your mind.
No.
Right? Seriously, totally serious. Yes. Yes. And, I mean, it is incredible. It's incredible. So in the back of my head somewhere, I mean, in the front of my head, I'm offended and incredulous. And in the back of my head, I'm going, I'm supposed to be that young and pretty like that. Like, not pretty like me, but pretty like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to be that age, and I'm supposed to laugh at this. I'm supposed to go along with the joke. Because otherwise, I'm going to be outside of the pack. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be without food, water. I mean, that's the reptilian fight or flight brain.
Right.
There is no gray area there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is just a starting point, but is this enough to make you go,
And, oh, my God, and, all at once. Yes.
I know. Are you feeling more sort of stunned and slightly nervous, or are you feeling hopeful? Are you feeling in shock? What's the sort of general?
Well, I definitely, I feel offended. I don't know shock because I kind of have known or assumed that there's some of that going on. But I think when you were saying, 8%, only 8% is conscious, I am pretty shocked about that. I'm shocked that there's, so little that's really there, to be addressed in sort of like a waking present state, and the whole rest of it is just crazy. Yeah, that's nuts. It makes me mad.
I think that's an appropriate response. I mean, I have to say there's a part of me that is angry pretty much all the time. And it's the sort of righteous activist part of me that wants to go correct things.
Right.
The fact is that I don't play on the stage in that way. Like, I'm not a political figure, so I'm not going to go out and create change in laws and things like that. So my righteous anger, I've got to sort of funnel it into what I can do, which is educate. And which is also to help women step into, recognize what's going on, recognize what is and what isn't their issue, and recognize ways to step outside of it on a repetitive basis so that we can experience in each and every day that we choose to the opposite of what we are doing.
Right.
That makes some sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are we doing? Like, what are we? We're doing so many things we're not even aware that we're doing. Or we're aware that we're doing them, and we're saying, it must be my fault. It must be my upbringing. It must be when my father said this and my mother did that, and it must be this and it must be that.
Right.
So some of those things are, I'll give you a few examples of different things. They may not all apply. One thing women do a lot, we apologize a lot.
Yes, totally.
We even apologize for somebody else stubbing their toe.
Mm-hmm.
Ever done that?
Yeah, I bet. You apologize for somebody stubbing their toe by stepping on me, you know? I mean, it goes
exactly.
way far, right?
Well put. Good. That's so true. It's so true. Here's another one. We talk a lot about I'm becoming empowered. And then we're like, why can't I get my business to go? Or why can't I get myself to go out and do a talk because I'm so nervous? And why can't I do this and why can't I do that? So we've got this imbalance between what our vision is and what our energy is. So I'll give you a personal example. I am meant, you know, my head says, my vision says, I am meant to be a game changer. I am a thought leader. I love being on stage. Give me a microphone. Let me at it. Let me talk to people. Let me help. I can help change the world. And then at certain points along my journey, I'll feel my energy just drop.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'll hear, I can't. Just that, I can't. And it'll be like I've got all the stuffing taken out of me.
Yeah, I know that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those of us who've been in personal growth forever, the first thing we do is we go looking for what happened to me or what did I do or what do I believe
yeah.
is false.
What's wrong with me is usually, you know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do this?
Right. Right. Here's some more. The languaging we use is so powerful and we are blind to it. We still say things like, oh, I'm bad when I go off my diet.
Right.
Why are you bad? What are you, a little kid? Are you bad, good? What the hell are you talking about? You're bad. And by the way, the idea of cheating on your diet, very interesting.
Right.
What does that even mean? Is your diet your spouse? Like, what is that?
Right. Yeah.
You're not a child who needs to be scolded. So here's the other big piece of what we do. We have adapted to the environment that we're in which we get a little less expressive, let's say, in a room full of what we deem to be powerful others. It could be powerful men, powerful women. It depends on our mindset. I'll go with the traditional just for example's sake and tell you that there was a study done many years ago, probably about 40 years ago, and I'll make up a number because I don't remember, 10 very powerful vice presidents, corporate types, and one woman who was also vice president, so maybe it was more like 40 years ago. But anyway, they put them in a room and they watched them converse and they took note of their linguistic expressions, the way that they spoke. And the woman was using very disempowered languaging. She was doing things like excessively. She was doing what I call prophylactic speaking, which is where you are wrapping what you really want to say in about a mile's worth of cotton wool. And you're
right.
going, right? I don't know if this is the right time to say this, and I know I usually don't speak up at the meeting, but, you know, it just seems like it might be worth saying, and I think we should, and then she gets to the point.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Right. So then they turned it around, and they got 10 powerful VP women and one powerful VP man, and he exhibited these same exact linguistic tendencies.
Really?
Yes.
I would have thought he would bluster and, you know, speak over them and whatever. Okay.
Because he was outnumbered. The perception of power, the perception of who's got more power, it's fascinating stuff. And you'll find, if you start to pay attention, you'll notice when you are in the presence of somebody that you deem to be more powerful, more important, more, you know, stronger than you are, take note. Just be sort of a Sherlock Holmes about yourself. Try not to hit yourself over the head if you can. It's hard not to. It's hard not to go, you're good, you're bad. But try to be an investigator instead. Where am I losing energy in my body? Am I drooping my shoulders? Is my energy pulling back? Am I giggling more? Am I doing the prophylactic speak thing? Am I making questions out of sentences? It's one of my favorite ones to notice. Instead of saying, I'm going to the store and I'm getting some shoes, and you'll notice at the ends of those phrases, the sound goes down. I'm going to the store and I'm going to get shoes. And what we hear people and ourselves say a lot is, I'm going to the store and I'm getting some shoes.
Right.
Really?
Like you're waiting for somebody that, interrupt you or to disagree with you or question you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what we do as we're trying to become empowered and go up against that that thing that tells us, no, I really can't do it, or I shouldn't do it, or I feel like an idiot doing it. What we're doing is we have taken on the rules of the power elite, and we've applied them to ourselves. So we've taken on the role, if you'll excuse me for putting it this way, of the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat ourselves up. Instead of waiting for the outside to do it, we beat ourselves up.
Sure.
I'm not thin enough. I'm not fat enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not young enough, white enough, whatever. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and because like you were saying, you know, it hits that survival place, you don't even realize or you don't put the accountability, let's say, on the ones who's kind of installed those beliefs. You know, it's like it's mine now. So now I'm mad at myself for being mad at myself rather than, you know, having awareness about it coming, you know, from culture, from power, whatever. And I have internalized it to such a degree, you know, that it's just immediate. This is how I respond and act within myself. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've bought into the idea that we're powerless over it. And on there's two sides to this one. It is very powerful because we're talking about an energetic. We're talking about the way that our world is ideologically and energetically put together. So anytime we're trying to step outside of that, we, being part of the world, we're stepping away. It's like Velcro, you know, hook by hook, teeny hook by teeny, teeny hook. It's not like you just go, oh, screw it. Screw you. I don't believe you. I'm out of here. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor. Yeah, I like that, the Velcro. Yeah. Very multifaceted. Yeah. I want to invite people to call in the next, you know, in a few minutes, just, you know, kind of gather up what else you want to say before we get people, you know, coming in for you to work with, to make, you know, suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to tell you out there, hopefully you're listening and you're really, you know, understanding because it's probably you too. But you can call in to the radio show at 646-595-4274. And if you're out of the country, out of the U.S. being the country, you put a 1 in front of it, 646-595-4274, or you can email us at ontheair@tellus.net, and that's TELUS.net, ontheair@tellus.net. So we welcome your contribution, your questions. Come on in. And Lori, you know, what else would you like to say? You know, you'll get to speak obviously later, but you know, is there something, a burning point or few that you want to make right now before we take calls?
If you've got calls to take, feel free. If you don't, I'll tell you about a few of the ads that I've seen.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go ahead? I don't have word yet from Nicole on the switchboard. We'll find out if somebody's in. So do you just go on and I guess Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. You go, and I'll let you know if there's somebody we want to there to talk to.
So, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, have you, I don't know if you've ever gone out on the internet and looked at like 1950s and 60s ads.
Not because I remember, you know, looking at like Life magazine and whatever when I was a kid back in the 60s, personally, you know, I mean, I was there, right?
It's stunning, isn't it? It's just, I mean, well, what's stunning is it was absolutely, I mean, this was the era of Mad Men, of the show. You remember the show?
Right. I didn't watch it, but yeah, that whole time, yeah.
It was brilliant, and it was very much a time that I was, you know, coming in. Well, I was born in 57, but still, that sort of growing up in the Midwest, it still felt very present, the 60s, trust me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so this whole idea that women were supposed to be second-class citizens and that we were supposed to be at the service of men and we were supposed to not be emotional, you would think that all of that stuff might have dulled down since then. But the fact is that because we've gotten more sophisticated, it's actually gotten worse.
Right.
And that makes this even more important to me because we're at a planetary turning point. And the turning point that is needed is balance. We have been so imbalanced by the sort of masculine ideals that, and not all, and they're not, they're really not healthy masculine ideals. So I'm not saying this to put down men.
Right.
I'm saying this because you cannot have one wing of a bird and expect to frickin' get anywhere. It's not going to happen.
Right. So
that's right, what we're in.
Yeah. So how do you work with women on that? You know, how do you sort of apply that with, you know, in your groups or with clients? Like, what does it look like to wake up or step out of that?
Well, here's what happens. Depending on what women come to me for, and right now I've got my group program, which also includes individual work. So if it is a matter of, gee, I want to start this business, it has to be within a context, right? It can't just be, well, how do I become a person who doesn't do this or does do that? Mm-hmm. There has to be a context so that you have something to measure against, you personally.
Yeah.
And, right, so one woman, I'll give you a very concrete example. One woman who was one of my teachers, probably 30 years younger than me, and one of my teachers in an entrepreneurial training course. And she would get up there in front of us every week. She's just such a badass kind of woman and very self-assured and gorgeous and just a lovely woman. And she came to me after I told her that the name of my company was the Goodbye Good Girl Project.
Mm-hmm.
And she got to know more about what that was about, which is breaking the rules so we can change the game. She came to me one day after class and said, I think I might need your help to get rid of my good girl. I said, okay, what's going on? She said, I want to be out there giving talks, and it makes me more frightened than I can tell you. And I looked at her. I said, that's amazing, because you stand in front of us every week. She said, I know. But she says, for some reason, doing just a talk, it brings up a lot, and I don't know what to do. So we met. We met once a week for 6 weeks. We co-wrote a talk that was based on her authentic self, her authentic story. I helped her identify. I mirrored back to her. Here, when you're saying this, do you feel strong or do you feel weaker? I feel weaker. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there a different way we can put that? You know,
yeah.
Not quite psychotherapy, but definitely untying the knots that keep us down.
Right.
And paying
attention to the energy there. If, you know, you're asking people you feel weaker or stronger, that's definitely an energetic thing within your body or around you. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's our feedback system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally our feedback system. And we've been trained. I mean, if you've worked for any kind of company, you first thing you learned was don't be emotional.
Yes.
You know, first thing you learned, whether you were told it this way or not, you were taught to be a machine part.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
That's crazy. That's completely
right.
Nuts. So I have the kind of approach, the kind of energy, the kind of way that I work with people that's a very open space. I'm not a judgmental person, but I can tell you when you are stepping into an area that is making you feel, that is making you not be in the place that you are your most magnificent, because I can see where you're magnificent. I can see it. So I help draw it forward. And it just depends on what you're working on. I have two clients right now. One is working both on her personal growth, because you are your business, so you better be ready to grow if you want to start a business. You
mm-hmm.
better be ready to change, right? So I'm helping one of them more, but not exclusively, with her personal growth. And then at those moments when she's ready and she's wanting to step forward into the business, the, hey, I have something to say and something I want to do and I'm not quite sure how to do it, and we explore it together, because the days of being the kind of teacher who has all the answers, all of your answers, those days have got to go away.
Yeah, definitely. Right, right. It's more like, how can I help you be you, rather than how can I stand here and tell you what to do? I've spent thousands of dollars, you know, going to teachers and marketing gurus and blah, 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 who really wound up wanting to tell me what to do, how to be my version of them, rather than how to help me be a better version of me.
Oh, my God, you just said the $1 million thing, to be the version of them. Absolutely. Me too. I had to spend some time in last year getting out of a program, because the minute I got in, I knew I'd made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was yet another one of these. If you just do the same business I'm doing, no. No. I need to be the best version of me. And if in order to do this part of my business, you want me to jettison all the rest of me, that's not acceptable.
Right.
That's not going to work. Mm-mm. So one of the main purposes that I have in my group is, in my program, that is to help people get so centered, to keep deepening their experience of their core, deepening their experience of what it's like to actually start making decisions from a very new place. Instead of following the rules, what if there were no rules? But it's okay, we're here, we're holding you. But
mm-hmm.
those old rules, they're not working for you. Are you willing to step into a slightly different way of looking at something and see what happens? And the results are phenomenal.
That's great.
Yeah. It's so awesome. And I get to have more playmates.
Yeah. Right. And it's, so, you know, you've been talking a lot about, well, the whole unconscious thing, and also looking at, like, the words, excuse me, that are coming out of somebody's mouth. And there's also, with you know, what we're saying to ourselves, which we've talked about here. I'm not saying it didn't get covered. But when you're busy, you know, telling yourself that you can't do it or you're a failure or whatever, it's like you can't take that next step. You know, you have to.
Right.
You have to disagree with yourself at that point, you know, or for me, you know, with my depression, there was one of the sort of breaking through points was when I finally sort of asked myself, why do I think that this set of happy, feeling good, empowered, you know, thoughts and inner conversation is really bullshit? And the other one that says, you know, you can't do it and you're a failure and, you know, blah, 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 and you're never gonna, is the truth, right? So even no matter how good I would feel, you were only gonna slide back to the truth, you know, because the truth was always gonna win. And I don't even know what sparked me to ask myself, because I was in my 50s already, to ask that question, you know. It's like, who gets to say that, you know, that voice is more accurate or factual than the other? And I decided that I did. And so I had a choice. And ever since, it's, you know, if that kind of starts coming up again, you know, the one who wants to constrain and judge and be critical, I can just say, like, yeah, no, I'm not going there right now. I mean, I get overwhelmed and I get sort of overcome with stuff like everybody does, but not nearly as easily and not for as long. And, you know, that part of me needs to sort of work harder and try to trick me more now than before, because I'm, you know, sort of wise to it. You know, and of course, like we were saying before, that's not necessarily even my own, right? But by now, you know, stuff comes up and you think it's your own, and it's true. So I love that you're sort of dismantling this on multiple levels.
It's like a tentacle. It's like a bunch of tentacles. It works its way into every part of us. And I love that the way that you approach your depression, and I had clinical depression for 30 years, so I'm with you, sister. I get it. But I love that the way that you came to it was like, oh, my God, who says?
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it took a long time, but now that I've got it, I, you know, definitely share it, and hopefully, you know, somebody else is going to hear that and start questioning their own inner talk. So, yeah.
Right. And there are so many kinds of tools that are out there now. And, you know, I've been through so many of them, you know, and there were so many of them that I just called bullshit on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned around years later and I looked. And I said, you know what? I think there is truth in probably mostly everything that I've looked at. And so let me see if there's, where is that truth? Where does it live? You know, because something that I may have said, that stuff does not work. Like, that's ridiculous. So, for instance, what do they call those things where you take a magazine and you cut out a bunch of pictures? Wish board? What do they call that?
Vision board.
A vision board. So I've done that about maybe four times in my life. Vision board. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do a vision board. You know, and I put up like a million-dollar home and me on the stage and, you know, whatever the dreams are at the time. And, like, nothing happens. And I keep it there. I do, you know, I look at it every night. Oh, yeah, that's me in the spotlight. No, nothing happens. And, so I thought, well, that's crap. That doesn't work. That's ridiculous. But now looking back at it, I'm going, there's a part that was missing. And the part that was missing was me. Like, was part of me that was complete enough to say, here's what really fits for me. Not, here's what I want in order to be rescued from being me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah. And for myself, I'm thinking, especially, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, there were no pictures to find of people, women, who looked like me. You know, I mean, you could cut out, you know, pictures of women looking sexy and dressed and casual and all this stuff. Women didn't look like me, you know, butch, lesbian, you know, so I couldn't be in my own vision, you know, and there was... you know, that's a whole nother different talk show episode, you know, but it's part of it too, is because if you're creating your vision board from what's already out there, even though there's maybe, you know, a gazillion things out there, it's still limited.
Which actually, and we're going off topic a little bit here, but which is where creative visualization comes in for me. Because in my head, I can just be in these situations for 5 minutes a day and feel that joy and express that joy physically. I'll be sitting in my room doing my creative visualization, and I'm giving my Oscar acceptance speech.
You know? Great, yeah.
And I know what gown I'm wearing. I know how fabulous I look, and I know how my hair is, and I'm just like, and I'm thanking George Clooney for being in the movie with me. You know, and I'm feeling it. It's real while I'm feeling it. And so what good, how does that help? How does that help me be empowered? How does that help me step out of the norm? It's me stepping out of saying I will limit myself, because everything about the sea in which we swim tells me that I ought to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
One thing I do want to mention is there are two extremes for how we deal with the sea in which we swim, the social sea.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is we have learned to code switch, right? We've learned to adapt. Big time.
Right.
Right? So we can survive.
Yeah.
We don't want to be killed in the process of living. We'd rather live our lives. So we back down from a host of things. The other personality type from that does exactly the opposite and becomes the toxic male. You know,
mm-hmm.
instead of assertive, becomes aggressive and you know, it becomes the controller instead of the leader. So there's like, there are these two easily identifiable ends to that line. And the question for us to, and this is the time we're supposed to be doing this, we women, en masse, together. What is in between? What does it actually mean? What is the feminine face of business? What is the feminine face of life? What is the feminine face of our, what does it mean to be, what does femininity mean? We're not talking about pink crinolines in the 1950s at a debutante dance. What is femininity?
Right.
Interesting question, and, because even we don't know.
Yeah, and even, you know, in my life, we've been sort of bucking it the whole way.
Yeah.
When I hear, you know, we're having a group for, you know, you're feminine this, or even worse for me, like goddess. And I'm like, I am not feminine. I don't relate with, you know, goddess, whatever. And yet I accept I am a woman. And, you know, I'm part of that whole, you know, the whole group. And I find it difficult to break the term away from what I've always seen it to be. Right, to say femininity or feminine face of, it's, I have to like drag it out of the, you know, the 60s, right, and the 50s, because that's where my mind goes when I hear those words, because they told us for so many years what that looks like and what it doesn't look like. So
exactly.
I don't know, do I have to reclaim feminine, or do I have to help invent a new word? Like woman in, this is the woman in face of business. You know,
what I'm down. You know, like whatever words we want to create, we can try them all on and see which one really sticks. You know, but before we even get to that, and I love that. What is the woman in? Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's. There are a few things that I have identified as being the. The feminine in a grown-up way, okay?
Yeah.
Right? And I think often about, there are a couple of things that have happened historically. One, nobody alive has ever seen, and the other, some have. One is the Grand Canyon. Like, what? Grand Canyon? The Grand Canyon. The way the Grand Canyon was created was by eons of water just softly and relentlessly flowing. That's femininity. You don't have to stand in, I'm going to kill you unless you...
Mm-hmm.
Here's the truth. Here's the truth again. Still standing in my truth. Once upon a time, I was in my mid-40s. I was in California. I was not particularly empowered, though I was very... I've always been very courageous. So I moved out there for some reason. And I'm standing in a print shop with this young man. He's probably 10 years younger than me, and yet I'm still feeling like I'm supposed to be very polite to him. I'm supposed to be very sort of subservient in a way. I'm supposed to be less than, because he's a guy and he's got the job, and he's handing me business cards that I've just had printed. And I look at them, and there's something on them that's slightly crooked, but it's going to drive me crazy for the rest of my day. So I say to him, I'm sorry, I can't accept these because it's the line is crooked. And he starts going off on me. And ordinarily, I would have been so terrified by his anger, because anger traditionally for me has been a tough one.
Yeah, for so many. Yeah.
For so many of us, yeah. And so customarily, I would have been like, oh, it's okay, I'll take it anyway. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Correct.
Something came over me, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at him, and I say, if you wanted me to take these, you should have called me to proof them before you did the run. And I don't know where that sentence came from, but it was pure, unadulterated truth. There was
right,
no
clarity.
Right. Here's the other thing, and this is what makes this work so a matter of stripping away layers. There was also no emotion in it in terms of pushback. There wasn't, get the hell off me, man, or I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, there was none of that. It was just me centered in my truth. That actually is the grown-up version of femininity.
Right. That's very powerful. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So one thing that we can do is we can, when we are in a moment, or we've had a moment where we've been in a fight with somebody, we know we're going to have to go back and address it again. Something that I've done to great effect over the decades is work with myself to hear what I'm feeling, what I want to say, because you've got to acknowledge what you want to say. Otherwise, the energy backs up on you. You've got to acknowledge it. So stop being so nice that you can't even be angry when you're alone. Like, write it down. Go,
yeah.
You son of a, you know, whatever.
Right.
And then I say, okay, I'm going to strip out bit by bit the parts that are not going to get me what I want.
Mm-hmm.
What do I want? Oh, so if what I want in this thing is communication, and I know that person is going to be triggered by this kind of expression, how else can I say it so that I will get to my end result instead of getting the cheap thrill of pissing this person off?
Yeah.
It requires getting very honest, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot in this society, maybe, you know, more visible with men, but certainly with women too, that we equate anger with being powerful, you know? So.
Yes.
Right. If you know, if you feel that you have been wronged or something, then there's this feeling of, you know, I want to go in and I want to shout and I want to, sort of pound my chest and say, you know, this is wrong and I won't take it. Right. When in fact, the way you handle that was brilliant. It was calm and clear. And there was no messing with that sentence. You know, it was great.
That's exactly right. Thank you for putting it that way. That's exactly it. When you get to that place where there's no messing with it because it is simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's what we saw in Washington last week. You know, here's simple truth.
Right.
Here's truth. This happened. Here's who caused this. Here's the proof. Boom. We're done. Anybody want to say anything?
Right.
Nothing to say. Nothing of any cogency to say. This, you know, truth. When you have something that's uneffable with, you're good. Then you're at your core.
Yeah.
Then you're at your core, and you know that there's nothing. You don't have to end up working out all that other stuff with that person. You've already worked it out.
Yeah. Right. And you don't need to walk away telling, you know, having the conversation over and over and over in your head. And when you first were telling the story, I thought, oh, my God, if you were buying like 1,000 business cards, every time you gave somebody a business card, you were going to have to relive that moment because you would notice, you know, that little crooked piece. Right. So brilliant move on your part. We are actually about at the end of our run here, amazingly enough.
Okay.
And. Yeah, so I want to give you some time to tell us, you know, more about this program you have, more about you know, whatever you want, other services if you have that you want to share about. And usually I also tell people that I have a Facebook group called The Not Too Late Show. And for each of my speakers, I kind of give them a unit, a thread of their own, where I can put links and any information, contact information, so you can find it there. And you can also ask questions of the guests afterward. And certainly you can go directly, you know, to Lori's page or Lori's information that she's about to give us.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I've got a head cold.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, I'm actually about to put something out, and I'll mention it for the first time here on your show.
Great.
I'm offering 10 women the opportunity to spend a week in the Powerful Woman Leadership Group and program. I keep calling it the group program, to experience what it is like to really have all of yourself honored in your journey, to really experience what it is like to be in the flow of being a human. You know, men who have been the titans of industry, they've been the kinds of people who put their emotions aside, so they don't have to deal with all of that.
Right.
They deal with it constantly. They also have the wife at home who's doing the laundry and the shopping and taking care of the kids and, you know, fixing
right.
the car, whatever.
Yeah, and dealing with all the emotions. Dealing with all the emotions that they didn't, you know, deal with all day. But, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, no.
Not sorry. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, not sorry. Yeah, good catch. Good catch.
Yeah.
You were there before me. So what we're doing in this program is I'm bringing my awareness, my leadership, my training, whether it because I have background in marketing, in entrepreneurship, in sales, in personal growth, in spiritual growth. So I've got a container that people get to step into and grow into an understanding, an actual experiential understanding of what it's like to grow simultaneously as a human, as a woman, and as a business owner.
That's
it's
awesome.
Very, very powerful. It's really something else. So we meet Mondays and Thursdays every week as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm offering is, and it's 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Mondays and Thursdays. And so that's what I'm offering is it's like a free week to come in and be a part of that and just experience it.
Right. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really wonderful. Okay, we're almost out of time here, so I'm going to say to ask people to check out the Not Too Late Show Facebook group for more information and more connection, but people can find you, like, on Facebook at Lori Kirstein. Yes?
Yes, they can find me in the Courageous Confidence group. Also.
Love that. The Courageous Confidence group. On Facebook. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And great. So thank you. Awesome. I'm going to take a minute or two and tell people that I'm planning on doing my next spoon bending webinar on March 1st at 7:30 p.m. So hopefully West Coast people might be, you know, off of work or whatever. And you'd be surprised how many of these points, how much empowerment around self-talk and point of view and perspective you can touch on in a spoon bending webinar. so
I can vouch for that. It's awesome stuff.
Yeah. So and it is very transformative and it's fun and it happens that we go for like 60 minutes to an hour and a half depending on how many people are there. And you can find more information about that also at the Not Too Late Show. I'll be posting something soon. So that's just a fun way to, you know, take a ride to a new perspective and discover something about yourself that you didn't know before. So that's all we have time for today. I'm so glad, Lori, that we did this. It was fun. It was definitely eye-opening and mind-boggling.
And, oh, good.
Yeah. And I think probably, you know, most of the people, if not all, who have been listening to this or will be listening, are going to be able to relate to a lot of, you know, a lot of this. So thank you for that. It will go off in the annals of useful things on and on and on and on.
I'm so glad. And it's been delightful.
Yeah. Thanks, Lori. Signing off from the Not Too Late Show. Come back, check us out next week, and go to the Not Too Late Show Facebook group. Thank you, everybody. So long.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.